Happy Monday. Welcome to the Steve and I Show. Tonight we kick off season 11. Can't believe it's been that long. Tonight we're dedicated to hot topics. You know, we've been gone in hiatus for the holidays and whatnot, so we have a lot to discuss. And we're welcoming our brand new co-host, Lania Love. You'll learn more about her. She's a friend. She was a friend to the show, and now she's joined us officially. So excited to have her on the team. But again, hot topic, talking about everything everyone's talking about, from COVID-19, a new president administration. And then I'm sure by now you've heard about Trey Songz getting in a fight with police at a football game. And then Bow Wow, he announced that he is coming out with an album dedicated to his exes. And he's going to name each song by the ex's name and talk about their relationship in the song. A lot of interesting stuff going on, but we're going to break it all down for you in Hot Topics. I want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, Instagram, of course, our official website, StephenKnightShow.com. You can also watch us on our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. Follow us on Twitter, and when we come back, we're going to knock out the question of the day and Hot Topics. Right back after this.
Them boys, they're vandals. This is someone and they be coming if you lie. Must be hit that pop, I can't lie. You won't feel like me, but it's hard to pick a side. I'm here for the time, not a long time. Would you like it if I come over? Dripping on your lines, I bend over. It ain't me to say I don't want love. I don't want nobody.
Send me. nothing like when we go up, the two of us, taking in the full view of our universe, where we rule, we reign, far away from any hate. I just sit back.
World, this is the Love King of R&B, Raheem Devon, and you know what it is, telling you to check out the Stephen Knight Show, keep it locked right here, and also listen to my new single, Mr. Midnight, and enjoy the new album, What a Time to Be in Love, available on all digital platforms now.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I want to remind you, if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, the Stephen Knight Show, and you rather listen to us, you can go to our Anchor, you can go to Apple Podcasts, wherever you watch your listen to your podcast. Virgie watches. Anyway, we're all over social media. Our website, thestephenknightshow.com. We just refreshed it. Instagram, The Stephen Knight Show. And again, our YouTube channel. So a lot has happened since our break. We are back with season 11. I can't believe it's been that long. But we have a new president. We have a new VP, Kamala Harris. We had an insurrection at the Capitol. We're back. We're back. Now, last week we shot a 10-year anniversary special that will be airing this Thursday on our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. So check it out. Some behind the scenes, how we all met, how the show, some of the, our favorite parts about the show. So check that out. Again, this Thursday on YouTube. Now, Ms. Parker, she decided last year that she wanted to take a break from the show. And end up being extended break. And so she still will be part of the show in some capacity. She recently helped out with our MLK event when we passed out to the homeless like we do every year. And she put that together. She helped distribute the items. But you probably won't see her on the show for a while. But we are very excited, very, very excited to introduce our new co-host. She is just a talented woman. She's a filmmaker, an actress. Please help me welcome Lania Love. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody.
Now, you're no stranger to the show. You've been on several times, and you've contributed, you've helped out during Ms. Parker's hiatus, the initial hiatus. So tell the listeners who maybe missed some of the shows about you.
So my name is Lania Love. I am an actress, a producer, a content creator. I am a podcaster as well on my own show. And I am just an all-around entrepreneur superwoman. That is my new thing for 2021. I want to do it all. I want to see it all. I want to be it all because I am all of that.
Yes, yes. Love it, love it. Well, welcome to the show. I know you're going to bring like you always do. So welcome. Glad to have you on.
Thanks.
All right, so our question of the day. Well, first, let me speak to the other co-hosts. We do have other co-hosts on the show. GK Evans, Happy New Year. How you been?
I'm good. I'm blessed, brother. I mean, I know I've been around for a long time. I got a little dust on me, but, you know, I'm still here. 11 years, brother. 11 years. That's nothing to sneeze at.
It's crazy.
Not at all.
Yeah. It's crazy. Nair, my man. How are you?
Hey. I'm good. I just, when you said Happy New Year, it made me think, man, it's been that long since we touched, you know, base here. So,
right.
Yeah, Happy New Year to everyone who I didn't get to say it to. And I'm here.
Most definitely. Our question of the day is, on a group trip, would you prefer to be the planner or just the person that shows up, pay your money and just show up for the trip? Linda, I'll let you take it.
I'm the planner. That's it. Point blank, period. I love planning things. I love putting things together. And when people start to act up, you just get cut. Because I keep moving. So you're either going to be with the program in this plan or you are not. We're going to eat. We're going to get drunk. We're going to have fun. We're going to do excursions. And that's it. I don't want to hear nothing else. We'll relax somewhere in between there, probably when you're hungover and drunk and that's your break time. But outside of that, I'm the planner. I'm in charge of that. Chike knows. That's why he's laughing like that.
What about you, Chike?
Obviously, I have no choice but to be the person on the trip who just contributed money. Right. I have no say. After being on a few trips with this lady, that's how it goes down. And listen, I have no complaints. She is an excellent captain. She runs a tight ship, and I'm glad to be aboard.
I hear that. Now you?
I like both. I like to plan or just take the trip. It depends. Sometimes I enjoy being a part of the trip and just not having to do the work and think and just kind of seeing how other people see things and see what's fun and entertaining, see how well other people do. But I often do like to plan. I do often plan as well for myself, family, friends, whoever.
I'm the one I just show up. How much do I owe? And when are we leaving? That's me. I thought of this question because we're planning, if you know, all goes well with COVID and everything, a trip for my birthday. And one of my friends said, I'll plan the whole thing. Perfect. Perfect. So between us at home, Steve and I show, let us know, are you prefer to be planner or just show up? All right, so a quick COVID update. Worldwide, we have 99.4 million cases with 25.5 million domestically, 420,000 deaths. Now, issues with the vaccine under the Trump administration, there were issues under Trump administration, but the Biden has planned over 100 million people vaccinated within his first 100 days. And I believe that number went up as of today. President Joe Biden on today will reinstate the COVID-19 travel restrictions on non-US citizens who have been in Brazil, Ireland, United Kingdom, and much of Europe. The White House also confirmed that to CNN, but he also extended those restrictions to travelers who recently been to South Africa. It comes 1 week after former President Trump signed the executive order in his final days in office, lifting the restrictions on travelers from those countries effective January 26th. Now, comedian Dave Chappelle, we all know, tested positive himself, and he had to cancel some shows as a result. And Bow Wow, we have another story about him, but he was under fire because he hosted this large party in Houston. And it was mostly maskless, and it was thousands of people. And the governor and the mayor, they were all upset with him. But he said it's really their issue because they're the ones that should mandate the mask mandate. So now, Yara, let you take it first. What are your thoughts on the whole COVID thing? I know we talked about this a lot last season, but how are you migrating through all that, navigating through all that?
Where I'm at, I'm here in Seattle. I mean, people are still getting busy. People are still getting out. Restaurants are opening back up. Gyms have opened back up. People are just wearing their mask. So I'm doing the same. You know, I go out when I step out of the car, I definitely am wearing my mask.
Yeah.
seems like everyone's kind of adjusting back into the social setting here, but that's just Seattle. That's just where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm in Atlanta. MLK weekend. A lot of people were in town. I'm like, why some people come in here? Because we're wide open. So Atlanta's wide open. So that's why they came here for that weekend. Linnea, what about you? What are your thoughts on all everything?
I mean, I'm maintaining, you know, the safety part of it. Of course, you know, my concern is my parents, because I take care of both of my parents. I'm, you know, in between running back and forth for them.
Yeah.
So it's like with between my brother and I, you know, we're the ones that are, you know, we're out in the streets, you know, running the errands and taking care of everything. So, you know, that's my main concern. Outside of the fact that I feel like at some point, because I'm a traveler, I feel like at some point you may have to get the vaccine in order to travel. And I mean, if it comes down to that, I guess I'd be willing to grow like an extra ear or a toe or a finger and get the vaccine, because I got to get up out of here. I'm about to go crazy. I need to travel. I don't need them, you know, that quarantine restriction. Listen, I got the shot. I'm cool. I, you know, just let me come in your country, because I got to get away from where I'm at. So that's how I feel.
I feel you. Trust me. I think everybody's got a way. Chike, what about you?
I've been managing just fine. You know, I'm in the hospital, so a mask is like having a set of eyes. And you know, I'm used to it at this point. I do not dwell around people without a mask. Even if I'm out and I'm, you know, going for my walks or I may jog or whatever, I'm maskless until I'm around people. I always have it trusty dusty, like the six shooter. You got to keep it on your side. Just pull it up, put it on, pull it up, put it on real quick. You cannot go into any establishments here in the state of Pennsylvania without your mask. So that helps. As far as that Bow Wow situation is concerned, I think that was irresponsible. You're a parent.
Yeah.
You know, you have a platform and you need to be setting an example, and that's not the example you should set. Like,
right.
That's not cool.
And I know that, you know, obviously not making the money that they normally make because of the restrictions and everything. But again, if you know you're hosting, you could have said, you know, yes, we have this event, but you must have a mask to participate. You know what I mean? But
yeah, and he could have like made fun out of it, like get the best mask contest or something. I don't know. You can make it interesting, but yeah. That's just irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. And it's too many people. Those people who go out into settings like that, not only do you not care about yourself, 9 times out of 10, you live at home with your mama or your grandmama. So you're taking it back home to them, and then they end up getting sick, and or they're you know, you're just transferring it. So you're not even being considerate to the people whom you live with, and you're just bringing all of that, and you're not disinfecting. They probably got all kind. Listen, I disinfect when you go in the house. They go in the house, they bring in everything and everybody with them in the house, and they're not concerned about anybody else's welfare.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But on a positive note, you know, all 50 states, there's not one red state as it relates to COVID. So they're saying the numbers are going down in terms of people that are becoming infected. They're still high, but they're going down. There are no red states. And that's why even California, they lifted their stay-at-home restrictions in 90% of the state. And some other states to start doing that. So it could be, you know, a step in the right direction. Again, I'm hopeful because we have a new administration. We have adults in the White House. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, Salt and Pepper, they're the latest hip hop legends to have their story. You know, they had a biopic on Lifetime that premiered last Saturday. And DJ Spinderella was let it known that she was not here for being excluded from the film. Now she let her fans know by releasing a statement on Friday. She said, sorry, but I got to speak on Lifetime special. Too often Black women who have been meaningful, who've made meaningful contributions in their industries are left out of historic narratives. But when Salt and Pepper was building our legacy, which is rooted in empowering women, I could have not dreamed that the same group would one day disempower me. She continued that words cannot fully express my disappointment when I learned the decision was made to move forward with a Lifetime biopic that wrongfully excluded me from every aspect of the development and production. all while using my image throughout, given that I played an integral role in the group's story and success. She did give props to the actors and the people who portrayed all three ladies. Apparently they fell out and she sued them in 2019 for money that she alleged they didn't pay her. They ended up selling it out of court in a confidential settlement. Was it wrong for them not to include her, Linnea?
I would say definitely yes. I understand that initially Spinderella wasn't a part of Salt and Pepper, but she became a part of it and she became an integral part of Salt and Pepper. That's like kind of like, for me, the equivalent of Run DMC without Jam Master Jay. That's just my opinion. Somebody else is entitled to something different, but I don't know Salt and Pepper without Spinderella. I don't. And I didn't watch it. I'm Team Spinderella, so.
Yeah. What do you think, Naya?
Yeah, that was probably wrong, but I don't know the history behind. It might be two wrongs, three wrongs. It might be both of them doing each other wrong, but yeah, that definitely was one of the wrongs committed. I mean, everybody knows Spinderella was Salt and Pepper. I mean, you definitely, just like that was the best example that she could have given with the Jam Master Jay. That was definitely the wrong thing to do, but it's probably a game they've been playing for years.
Yeah. Chica?
Yeah, Danier's right about that. They've been playing that game for years. However, I do not agree with my co-host. I think that an agreement or an arrangement should have been made with Spinderella, with Salt and Pepper. Spinderella, the original Spinderella, was someone that was not needed or wanted by Salt and Pepper themselves. And Herbie Azer, their manager and producer, brought that Spinderella in. And that Spinderella was fired. And then Herbie found Dee Dee Roper, which is Spinderella as we know it, brought her in. So Spinderella wasn't even a specific person in the beginning. It was nobody. Then it was the first Spinderella. And then she was gone. And then now there was Dee Dee, who is Spinderella. So Spinderella has always been an orbit to Salt and Pepper. I think that they should have worked out their differences a long time ago and made her an integral part of the group that way. And any of the verbiage that you see, they made sure over the years from the beginning, Salt and Pepper featuring Spinderella. She's always been a separate entity. So when it came time for, you know, the big money to come through, Salt and Pepper was like, this is our group. I can't blame them for feeling that way because they put in the years. They've gone on tour and done shows without Spinderella. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, there's this group, I can't think of what group it is. It's an older white male group. And they toured, you know, pre-COVID, tore all the time. They can't stand each other, but they know that they make their money together. And so they go out there, they work through it, they get the show done, and then they go their separate ways. And I think that these ladies should do that, because even though Spinderella, there was a different one initially. When you say Spinderella, you know, you think about this one, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I wish they could put their differences beside them, you know, their history, you know, making artists and do it for the fans, you know what I mean?
Well, I just want to add one more thing to that. There's things that go on behind the scenes that we aren't privy to that ruin relationships to the point where they can't do that anymore. Small plug, if you want to hear something like that, which is pretty much the same story, Dawn Robinson and En Vogue. That's a big similar situation to what's going on in the industry when it comes to groups and that extra person being put out or not being a part of because of relationships that happen behind the scenes.
Very true, very true. We'll take a quick break, come back with a few more hot topics right back after this.
Your mind, your soul. baby, I can help. You ain't gotta touch yourself.
How do you medicine and you keep right?
How do you miss the midnight is for?
This is Janera, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. I want to remind you, we're all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com, and follow us on our YouTube channel. All right, so Bow Wow. He's been under a lot of fire for different things. Well, now he's come up with an idea that he's going to make an album called A Letter to My Exes, where it's going to be 8 songs. He was talking to his mother about this. 8 songs that are going to be titled the woman's name, the ex's name, and then he's going to tell a story about them. And he said that he knows it's going to be a lot of backlash, but everything is facts and there's no dancing around. And he said once the album comes out and people see the track list with the names, he said the internet's going to go crazy. Now, a lot of people are kind of figuring out who's going to be on there. Angela Simmons, Keisha Cole, Sierra, even he mentioned Black China, but he said he wants it to be a surprise. That's what he told his mom. So is this a good idea? Is this something to get buzz to sell albums? What are your thoughts, Lanier?
Still stuck on he talking to his mom about this. I ain't never rushed out to get no Bow Wow CD or nothing. So I'm not even interested, but okay, do you. I think that it might be in poor taste. There's something to be said for a person, male or female, to talk about their past conquest in that form. You're supposed to keep bedroom stuff in the bedroom, but the age that we live in, everybody got to know all your business. So
that's true.
Go ahead, Bow Wow. God bless you. Godspeed.
Chicken, what are your thoughts?
Well, I believe his mom is still his manager. And I think that's maybe why he was talking to her about it. But mother manager needs to inform him or have him have an attorney on retainer, because I don't know how far, how deep and how wide he's going to go with this. But, you know, he could be liable, especially if the woman that he speaks of has a reputation and her reputation is part of her livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Could be slander.
He said the women will be shocked when they see their names and probably nervous. Now, is this a good idea?
Is it a good idea for me? Nah, man. I mean, either Bow Wow is a genius and he's playing right into the role that he wants us to feed into, you know, or he just needs some new guidance in his life. You know, see, looks like he's just scrambling, and you know, he's having trouble with the fact that he's not a huge celebrity that he may have thought he could have been or was at one point in time. And he wants to make some money, but he's staying. You would think if somebody that old at this point would figure out how to make money wisely with some very, you know, some integrity, you know what I mean? Or helping some other people make some money the way you did in the past or something, you know, you got a child, maybe two, you know, why would you want to get so dirty like that? Why would you want to get so messy like that?
Yeah.
If you look at Bow Wow's history, right, and you look at some of the things that he's been in the headlines for, it's all for attention-getting things. Remember when he was working for BET, he took the BET credit card and he paid his child support, or then he lied about a personal jet or something, all for, you know, hype and
all for attention.
Stop, clown. You're Bow Wow. Own that you're Bow Wow and do something, create something. Don't. It's attention getting. It's not hot.
So maybe his mama shouldn't be his manager, because shouldn't she be wrangling him in? Like, in regards to that, like, how are you? I mean, I understand that he's grown, but you as the manager, like, I don't know, you're not having a discussion with your grown adult son about how he's moving, because also there was something mentioned about he loves strippers, because this was an interview, right, Stephen? Like, his mom was interviewing him about this, which that's why I thought it was weird, like, whatever. But he looked like his mom's like, you love strippers, and that's where like his last kid that may be his is from a stripper.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I as his mother, like, how are you? I don't know how you dealing with that. Like,
He needs some guidance. He's a grown man. He's a grown man, but he's still got remnants of being a boy, you know. So he just needs some new friends.
Last time I checked, we weren't even supposed to be calling him Bow Wow. Didn't he change his name back to Shad Moss?
Right. I think he probably did. Yeah, Nobody respected it, you know?
Yeah.
But he doesn't warrant that. You know, they say people treat you how you let them treat you.
Yeah.
Treat them how you allow them to treat you. He doesn't warrant nobody making him, looking at him as a man, you know, as a grown up.
Right.
Like a child.
Yeah. That's probably another one of his issues too. He probably battled that too. The fact that he never really got, you know.
That's true.
And I think that's where I hate to say it, but his mom is a part of that. If she's been his manager all this time, you're supposed to help him grow up.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't grown. He's like in his 30s, right?
Yeah,
he
hasn't grown up yet, so I don't know what the issue is. Like, I don't. Weird.
Well, another person. I'm sorry, Stephen. They say a child is supposed to grow you up. He's got a child, but you know, That's still like, man,
that don't mean nothing.
I'm done with it. I'm done with it. But that's just crazy to me, man. It's crazy. I didn't hear anything about this until you said this today. Yeah.
Well, he's definitely has people talking. We're talking about it now. So we'll see what happens. Well, Trey Songz is another person in the headlines. So he was at the Kansas City Chiefs football game last night, and he got arrested. Now, a lot more details are coming out about what really happened. It turns out it all was about a mask. A lot of people in the stands, you know, the stadium had certain guidelines for COVID. You know, they had the restrictions, and a lot of the fans that were in the stadium noticed that he didn't have a mask on. And so they called, you know, security. Security came. He wouldn't listen to them. He wouldn't put it on. And so they eventually called the local police, and they released more information saying that when they got there, you know, he wouldn't put the mask on. There was a physical altercation where he pushed one of the officers, and I believe punched one of them. Something even about a chokehold or a headlock. So, but that didn't last long because the police got on him and, you know, subdued him, and they arrested him. He was released today, and he went on Instagram and he posted pictures from, I guess, the jet ride over there. And he posted a picture with him on with a mask, and then he showed a picture of him in the stadium without a mask. And he his caption was, "The game was lit last night," right? And I don't know if this was his attorney, but there was an attorney who was the first one to comment and said, "Shh." So now you're going to take this one. What are your thoughts? I mean, what do you
listen, man? I saw that scuffle. I mean, Trey had the man in the a guillotine headlock, you know.
Yeah.
He had the and I was in awe. I was amazed. I'm thinking they're going to kill him. But obviously he didn't get killed. But I'm thinking, whoa, like, yeah. I don't know what saved his life. I really don't know. Because I'm sure they didn't know who he was. But I mean, he was wrestling an officer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Literally fighting an officer and punched him in the head a couple times. You know, I couldn't figure out how he was still alive.
Right. That everything that we're seeing with police brutality. Yeah. Yeah. Chike.
So, from my understanding, this all started from a heckler in the crowd. Somebody yelled something at him, and it was going between Trey and the heckler, and then the cop came over to Trey on an aggressive, like straight aggressive, no verbiage or nothing, just straight aggression. And I'm only picturing myself in a situation, you're sitting there minding your business, and someone comes at you aggressive, you're going to react aggressive back to protect yourself. And that's how that got started. But I have questions going back to the onset. Well, before he even got into the stadium, you're not wearing a mask again with this no mask thing.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you wear a mask in a crowded studio, a stadium?
Right.
Was it perhaps you wanted to get noticed? Again, attention. You want people to, if I was a celebrity to his magnitude, I think I would welcome being able to wear a mask and no one be able to know who I am. And I could sit and enjoy something without interruption, like a heckler, to start that type of negative situation. So, I mean, I don't know. I hope he does well in court. I hope it works out for him, but he's very
on the police.
Very lucky.
That's a felony.
Yeah.
That's a felony.
It is. It is. But he's very lucky he's not dead.
He's very lucky he's not dead.
They've killed us for less.
Yeah.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. I really could not believe it.
Yeah. Lanier?
I mean, to Chike's point, I've heard, you know, several different stories, and a couple people have come out in support of Trey Songz and that he was being heckled. Now, I don't know the mask part situation of it. I don't know if he had a mask on. Because, you know, sometimes when you take pictures, you take your mask off. So I don't know if the taking of the picture was just so he can have a picture of where he was and he put it back. I don't know. We don't know that. But, of course, once the police get their statements together, it's not going to be in support of him. It's going to be to make them look in a certain light as if they did everything right. But we all know that 9 times out of 10, when a cop approaches a person of color, they are approaching you aggressively. They're not asking any questions. They're not, you know what I mean? They're not being like a conversationalist and like, oh, well, what's going on? Whatever, whatever. That's not how it goes down to Nair's point that they, you know what I mean? Like they go right in. So he is lucky that he is alive. So hopefully it works out for him. But I don't understand why y'all just can't put no mask on.
Right. Right.
My thing is when security came over to you, even before the police got there, and they had to put your mask on. Oh, sorry. You know what I mean? That would be avoided. But again, you're right. We can't always trust what the police tell us with their account of what happened, because we've seen so many times.
And to his credit, I understand, you know, he may be going through some things too. And he's not, you know, exempt from what's happening to his brothers and sisters out here. He sees this. He might have just been ready to die. He might have been ready to go out with a fight. He might have been ready. I mean, he's got a child, but he might have been like,
maybe
I'm tired, you know? Everybody goes through that, and I don't know where he's at in his life. I don't know. He's got a lot going on, I'm sure. So he may, I saw a man that was tired. I saw a man that was, if you're willing to, if a black man is willing to fight a police officer, willing to fight, not
after
run.
After everything we're seeing. Yeah.
After everything we know they can get away with.
Yeah.
That man was ready to die. He's ready to die for what he was, whatever he thought he needed to stand for, whatever it was, or the pressures. And that, you know.
And here's some more food for thought. Let's think about this. He's an artist. This time period with since the pandemic has been very hard on artists because of not being able to
tour,
distribute your art the way that you normally were used to. And you think about egos, and you think about notoriety, i.e. not wanting to put the mask on, attention. So how do you know he didn't go there with intention, like Nair said? How do you know it's not about, maybe it got out of control. Maybe it was a situation that blew up out of his hands and it turned into something else. But it could have started just from wanting attention.
Yeah.
And just to add to that, since he's been more vocal on social media about everything that's been going on.
Like, yeah, he has been
more vocal. So that can also tie into the point that was just made. He's been very vocal. Like just within, you know, within 2020, he's been more vocal about what's been going on. And he's been getting, you know, he's been getting a lot of slack for being so vocal, especially with the album that he dropped, the song, was it Black Love? I mean, talking about Black Love, how are you getting backlash about talking about Black Love and loving Black women? Like, I just don't understand why that's a problem. But he has been more vocal, so that ties into him just, I'm over it, just F it. Like, I'm tired. Like, we're all tired. We are all tired. So, I mean, God bless him. I'm going to pray for him.
Most definitely. Well, before we go, you know, we want to salute two great baseball Hall of Famer and civil rights icon, Hank Aaron, and TV legend Larry King, who both passed away. They're both in their late 80s. Larry King passed due to COVID. What are your thoughts just briefly on these two men? Chica, I'll let you start.
Hank Aaron is a pioneer, an ultimate legend. The world of baseball owes a lot to him. And Larry King, a personal inspiration, you know, he's a journalist of the highest tier, and he's been in the game like for 1,072 years. We always thought Larry King was going to be around and no matter what. And I'm going to miss his interviews.
Yeah. I remember Larry King was divorcing his wife, who was in her 60s and he was, you know, 86. They said, you know, you'll be fed up. You're in your 80s. You want to get a divorce. Nair, what are your thoughts on these two?
I have to echo Chike's sentiments. You know, Larry King was old when I was young. You know, I was like, he ain't going nowhere. You know, he just always, you always get that little raspy voice and the pointy nose and glasses. You know, but nonetheless, I am sure he's going down in the books as one of the greatest to do it behind that microphone when it comes to journalism. So thoughts and prayers to his family and friends and man, Hank, that's my dad's inspiration. You know, I know how important he is to our culture and what he went through as a black athlete. So two very, sometimes you hear about people's passing, you're like, oh man, you know, they were living fast anyway. Those were job well done ones for me.
Yeah. Most definitely. Job well done is the best way to say it. Lanier?
When I heard about Hank Aaron, I was like, are you serious?
Oh. Yeah.
It was, you know, my dad was like, oh,
man. Yeah.
And it was crazy because the conversation was like, because you know how the internet can spread stories. So the conversation was like, well, he had just got the vaccine.
Yeah.
And then he died. And my dad was like, I want to get the vaccine, but now I don't think so. So I'm like, that's how the conversation went. He was a little sad. And, we talked about it, but, you know, a pioneer, definitely. And then Larry King, you know, he's just like Nair said, like, I was little and he was old. It's like Morgan Freeman. It's like Morgan Freeman. Like, I don't remember Morgan Freeman being young or James Earl Jones. I don't even remember him being young. It's like that. So, I mean, we lost two important people on two different spectrums.
Yeah.
Two important people to the world and to the culture, you know what I mean, that they merged together, because Larry King, you know, he was for everybody.
Right.
He interviewed anybody. He told anybody.
Yeah.
Who you was.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So it's definitely a huge loss, but like Nair said, like, you know, job well done, definitely.
Yeah, I was gonna say job well done. Rest in peace, gentlemen. Yeah. Lanier, first show, thank you so much. Chicken, Nair, you have a great, well, Chicken, I'll see you in movie reviews. Nair, Lanier, have a great one. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
All right, back after this.
Off that big dog, you can scream and cuss if it gets rough. Don't care if the neighbors fuss, let them hear it. Cause all of this right here is my shit.
You know that's my shit, my passion. Yeah, ain't nobody else gonna be hitting it like that. I put it down like this. This, you know that claim to my period. Yeah, there ain't nobody else I'm gonna be with. So I got my jacket, lock it.
So fake, it's loving me. 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 Now past 3, we still not sleep. We vibing, bumping, Joe to see. Still having drinks, we in too deep. If you start touching on me, then you gon' get it. Cause baby, you know right now I'm twisted. Smiled and winked, you better stop playing cause I'm a freak. But you still proceed trying to kiss on me. But baby, I ain't got these lips for nothing. So babe, come get them and stop fronting.
Yeah, baby, that's my shit, my shit. Ain't nobody else gonna be hitting like that. I put it down like this. Yeah, baby, I claimed it. Yeah, ain't nobody else I'm gonna be with. So I gotta lock it.
Yeah.
About to get your case like I'm doing things right, a middle finger, fuck the law. Every night there is a party like every guy grab a shorty by the end of the night. Things about to get naughty like with a gas, baby, roll it up. Got a bottle of the many, gonna pour a cup for you. Cause tonight we is low enough. Stopping something we won't do, yeah.
Stop the music, it's a stick up, stick up. Drop your phone, no taking pictures, pictures. Ain't scared to take a shot, ain't talking liquor, liquor. No, bullshit, no, it won't miss ya, miss ya. Been down for the cross since I was young and I still ride. They stopped on us for years, to be honest, I'm still tired. The real kind behind every great man is a real dime. They both been through the rubble, but they still shine. He was cute when I met him, now he real fine. You could never steal mine, you feel mine, we hot. We gon' cool off, get this money like it's chill time. He gon' eat this pussy like it's meal time.
Doing things right, a middle finger, fuck the law. Every night there is a party like every guy grab a shorty by the end of the night. Things about to get naughty like with a gas, baby, roll it up. Got a bottle of the many, gonna pour a cup for you. Cause tonight we is slowing up. Stopping something we won't do, yeah. Fast lane running out with my head up.
Me and him together, now that's a perfect picture.
Shorty so true, I ain't never seen a switch up.
When the shit go down, just know that I'm there with him.
I've been doing things right, a middle finger, fuck the law. Every night there is a party like every guy grab a shorty by the end of the night. Things about to get naughty like with a gas, baby, roll it up. Got a bottle of the many, going for a cup. Something we won't do, yeah.
Welcome back to the Steve and I Show, Adam. 11 years, season 11. How you feeling about it all?
Pretty good. It's hard to believe that it's been going on for this long.
Yeah. We're talking about in Hot Topics, the anniversary special that airs on Thursday. That was your idea to do that. And why do you think that was important?
I don't know if you left this in the anniversary episode, but it was just, 10 years is a pretty significant amount, I think, for anything to be around for that long.
Yeah.
So it was really just a chance to kind of celebrate how far we've come in that 10 years. Yeah.
Well, for our viewers and listeners, I don't know if you know Adam is a jokester. So I had everyone send over their updated bios and their updated pictures. And so I was updating the website today. So I was adding the bios and the pictures. And I didn't read through most of them. But so I saw his. Cause I was like, did he send me one? And I saw it. And his last, what was their last line?
I said, Adam was brought on to save the Stephen Knight Show from assured ruin. And was there to save it. And I put that in there. This is a little tip. If you ever don't think people are reading like emails or things you send, put a little something like that in there just to see.
That copy paste I put in, I said, what?
Yeah, I was sad to see that removed, but I'm glad you did read it.
Well, listen, season 11, here we are. Let you guys. Well, before we go, before we get into movie reviews, I want to talk to you, Chike, because I forgot to ask you on Hot Topics. you started the vaccine process. So you had the first shot and you had the second shot tomorrow.
Yeah.
How has it been for you?
The first shot, it was cool. I've been journalizing on my Instagram if anybody ever wants to come by and look at it. But the first shot was cool. I had like maybe a golf ball size knot in my arm, and it was it was painful. It was sore. It lasts for maybe a day, and then it went away. No sickness, no symptoms. Good. But from what I'm hearing, because I'm asking the doctors that I work with who've had, you know, their shots before me about, you know, the second shot, what should I expect? And they were saying that the symptoms show up. And they vary between people. So I'm not quite sure how I'm going to feel, but I'm expected to feel something. But the bigger thing is that I'll be done tomorrow.
And,
awesome.
24 hours of symptoms, I can take it. I'll be with it.
Most definitely. Well, we hope everything goes smoothly for you tomorrow.
Thank you.
For sure.
Definitely.
Well, I'll let y'all take it over. Movie reviews.
Sure, thanks. So, new year, new things to look forward to, but I actually saw three films from last year, and a lot of them were around the end of the year during our break. So, I'll just kick it off with the first movie, Wonder Woman 1984.
Please, let's get into that. Let's get into it.
Okay, so, so this movie is the reason I got HBO Max, because I wanted to see the new Wonder Woman movie. I loved the last one. It was a great kind of fresh take on like the superhero of like a fish out of water in this new world. World War One was a fun setting. So this time they're in 1984. The atmosphere is different. Wonder Woman, Diana Prince, as she goes by, but is now working at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. And this artifact comes along that is going to grant people wishes. So think of kind of like a wishing rock. And Pedro Pascal plays the villain who kind of unlocks the power of this. And so Wonder Woman has to stop him. And along the way, we also have what is known by the comic fans as Cheetah, played by Kristen Wiig, as kind of the counterpart that's another villain in this movie. And so for me, and Chike, I can't wait to hear what you say, but this is a movie, and I don't like to do kind of like a 1 to 10 scale, but I would put this as a 5. This was a movie that had some fun parts to it, but it was really, you think too much, and I know you're not supposed to think too much in superhero movies, but even if you think a little bit about it, the whole world falls apart. And at 2.5 hours, I felt like there was an easy 30 minutes to cut out of it. I think the first scene could have been cut out. There's just a lot of stuff going on. And I think we see this, you know, in the 90s Batman movies when they put two villains in a movie at once. There's just too much going on that you can't really focus on one or the other and give them enough attention. So overall, I mean, you know, if it's still available on HBO Max and you have a subscription and you want to just see kind of a superhero movie in the background, check it out. But it will definitely disappointed compared to the first one for me.
I would concur. I'm not going to call it trash. It wasn't trash. But let's compare it to the scale of the marketing for it. Mm-hmm. You made us wait almost a whole year for this movie to be released. Then when you release it, not only do you release it in a multi situation, you're in your theaters and you're also streaming it, which is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. No one's done that before. And the movie turns out the way it turns out, I kind of sort of want to use the word trash, because you got me all built up for what, a 5?
Yeah.
You were generous with the 5. And the only thing to me that saved this film with some of the action scenes, because some of the action scenes were hot. Mm-hmm. But that makes me even more angry at Warner Brothers, because you had all these great action scenes and then the storyline was kind of trash.
Yeah.
The sappy part, I didn't want to get into, especially that last scene with her with the lasso around his ankle. And I don't want to tell too much. Sappy, I don't want to see that. The first Wonder Woman movie was so dynamic. Mm-hmm. And to date, it's probably one of the best DC comic movies done. And you took that legacy that you created and then you brought this. No, not the move. It wasn't good. So from what I'm understanding, Patty Jackson, the director Patty Jackson, wants to only do another, like a third installment to Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And then she wants to leave it alone. There is going to be another film before we see the third installment, which is going to be Amazons, where they focus purely on the Amazons and I guess their journey to Themyscira. That should be pretty interesting. I hope they put as much oomph into that as they did the first Wonder Woman to help maybe give them some, to help bolster the ideas for Wonder Woman 3, whatever that's going to be. They have to come through with this next Wonder Woman movie because this one was not it.
Yeah. And I think Patty Jenkins will kind of learn, because I think she was one of the writers too for the screenplay, that you just tone it down. Like, let's focus on something and let's not try to put too much into a movie at once, because it just doesn't work out.
And I get it, because I've heard Linda Carter speak about it, and I've heard interviews between, well, I've heard a conversation between Linda Carter and Gal Gadot about Wonder Woman and the essence of who Wonder Woman is and how they want to portray the character. They want her to have heart. They want her to be a feminist. They want her to care about people in the world. I get it. I think that they drove that point home too much in this particular film. We kind of get that from Wonder Woman in the first one. We kind of get that from her presence. We get that from the comic book. So anyone who's a fan, I think there isn't anyone on the planet who doesn't know who Wonder Woman is. Mm-hmm. If you know who Wonder Woman is, then you know her character already. Rock with that. You don't have to display it in every movie. And I think that's when you got into the sappy stuff and the stuff that was like, can be on the cutting room floor. Like, we don't need to see that. We know that she has a heart. And I'll just say this, being a comic book fan and Wonder Woman dealing with Cheetah for the first time in the comic books, Wonder Woman gets her ass kicked severely the first time around. And she has to learn how to fight Cheetah. Cheetah is her number one nemesis. Create that.
Yes.
Not saying that Cheetah wasn't good, because I love, like, at the end when you saw her visual, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Uh-huh. And I was ready for the, and then it didn't happen. I was upset.
Yeah. She's the, if I understand correctly, she's like the Joker to the Batman. This is the arch nemesis, and you need to develop it more than, and I a small minor spoiler, but your villain wearing a cheetah fur jacket and then turning into a cheetah, then you need a little more than that to develop your arch nemesis.
Honestly, the geek part of me, I wanted to see the metamorphosis. Show me the change. You didn't show me the change. Yep. I want to see the change.
Yep, too much going on. And furthermore,
speaking of show me the change of Diana Prince getting into her Wonder Woman outfit. Like, that was kind of corny. It was kind of corny, y'all. You know, I don't want to say like what I saw, but it was kind of corny.
Yeah. If you watch it, you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to move on to a movie I did like was another movie that, of course, got delayed with the pandemic, but Pixar's Soul. And this movie is, of course, another Pixar release starring Jamie Foxx as a jazz teacher who abruptly dies, and he goes into this place where he learns about souls. And it's created by the same person who did Inside Out, so it's kind of one of those existential movies, but it's also a children's film, but there's a lot of elements to it. But it's really his story about kind of finding out how his life was and what his world was like, and him trying to achieve this mission of being a jazz musician as his dream. Without going too much into details, I will say it was really well done. The animation is amazing. They've mixed animation styles, so when you see it, you'll see kind of a different take on how they interpret things. And it's a Disney Plus release, so you can watch it anytime. But I was definitely a big fan of this. And again, it's a kids movie, so you don't have to worry about thinking too hard about, well, how does this work with this? Just understand, you know, that they're making a quick hour and a half movie. But and this is also Pixar's first Black lead in any of their animated films. So, and Jamie Foxx does a great job, as always, in his movies. So definitely check it out.
Yeah. And it also touches on your heartstrings, too. It's a heart toucher. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I was laughing at so many points that I didn't think I would be in that movie. So, you know, Pixar does it again. And then my final film, which is kind of the big movie release of last year that I finally got to watch on streaming, is Tenet. And this is the big Christopher Nolan movie. If anyone keeps in touch with kind of movie news of last year, he forced the studios to bring it out. He wanted it to be released in the theaters. And this movie is kind of the best way I guess I could describe it is it's similar to like a Ocean's 11 and a James Bond with time travel. And for anyone who's seen Christopher Nolan movies like Inception, it's they're tough to explain, but essentially this person, the protagonist played by John David Washington, has to go in and stop this Russian oligarch from essentially ending the world. And so he learns about how to do temporal manipulation and how time can be reversed. And it's a fun movie. It's, again, I think another movie where you don't try to think too much because it's going to be a confusing movie. Chris Nolan likes to put all this kind of little Easter eggs at the beginning of the movie that you have to really pay attention for. But the action sequences were fun. It was a movie that I think would have benefited from the big screen. So I'm kind of sad to see it on the small screen. But one thing I will say is the audio was a little off. So I play, having subtitles on really helped me a lot during this film. And again, I liked it a lot. The ending could be a little confusing, but you're on for the ride and you want to watch these fun action scenes and kind of see these elaborate setups. And yes, we've seen the spy movies before. We've seen the Ocean 11's heist movies before. There's no new ground there. It's a little tropey at moments, but overall, it was a worthwhile wait for me. And this is one of the few movies that at 2.5 hours, I felt actually flowed really well that it didn't even feel like it was that long.
Okay, cool. I haven't seen Tenet. I know that was the first movie to be released in theaters since the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And I've watched the interview with John David Washington, and he was thrilled to be in the Christopher Nolan movie, but he was upset at how the marketing of it. I mean, rightfully so, simply because of, you know, everything that was around. I think they would have done better if they would have held out and just did it strictly to streaming instead of trying to have it in theaters first.
Yeah.
And I do get that movie calls for the dynamic of the big screen, but this goes to the things that we talk about on here all the time. Maybe they should stop making movies in that way because you're relying on that 100% in mm-hmm. certain films, and maybe you shouldn't because the film does have to have a life outside of the big screen. At some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, someone I wish would listen to you is the people who make the James Bond movies because No Time to Die just got pushed back again. And I'm like, come on, just let us see it. So now we have to.
All you're doing at this point is delaying the money that you're going to lose on this film. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose the money, take the hit, and keep it moving. The fans will tune in. James Bond has fans, decade-long fans,
exactly.
And generational gap fans. So, you know, take the hit.
No, I don't want to wait anymore.
Yeah, right. The fans don't want to wait. But you're going to take a hit. Just take the hit, Hollywood.
Yep.
Anyway. The next film, it's not a film, technically. It's a docuseries on Netflix called Night Stalker, Hunt for a Serial Killer. And this is about Richard Ramirez, who was known as the Night Stalker in LA. And he killed 13 people. He assaulted numerous people. He's a pedophile. He's a rapist. Just the worst of the worst. And also, I believe, a Satan worshiper. This was scary as hell because it's true. It's a true story. And the cops are talking about, you know, how they basically found him. And how it wasn't easy to find him. And this man was just going into people's homes at night, just opening windows and going in and attacking people in your home while you slept and snatching people like as they were coming in the home sometimes, the worst of the worst. And they could not catch him to the point where he killed 13 people. It was very interesting. They have the police that actually dealt with the case talking in the docuseries. And it is definitely, if you're into those crime drama things, it's definitely something to watch. I found it very interesting. and educational, because I didn't know about this guy. I've heard the name, but I didn't really know about him. And to actually see him and see what he looks like, he does look like he worships Satan. He looks like a straight up demon. Seriously. But check it out. I thought it was very interesting. And next movie I saw was American Skin. American Skin is a Nate Parker film written and directed, and it was released through a Spike Lee. It's a Spike Lee joint, so it's a Spike Lee situation. Nate Parker has a way of upsetting you and inspiring you at the same time in his art. And American Skin doesn't stray from his formula. Get your tissues out. You're gonna cry, you're gonna be angry, you're gonna be upset. But I think that it was a very good message overall. And it basically is telling the story of a man who loses his son in the routine traffic stop, driving while Black. And I'm gonna leave it at that. I don't wanna tell too much, but definitely check it out. It's emotionally driven, very well done. And there's a point in the film where there's dialogue, and the dialogue is coming from various people, but it's also educational at the same time. And some real content is being thrown out there. Nice. As far as how we as a society deal with racism and police brutality in this country. Definitely, I've definitely recommended. Two thumbs up, number 10, watch that.
Nice.
And it's called American Skin. And I wanna mention, Euphoria has a new episode just released. So far, two episodes of the new season have been released already. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it yet, but these, I think, were things that they could film that were easy and COVID friendly. And they focus, the first episode focuses on Zendaya's character. I can't think of her name right now, but focuses on Zendaya's character. And the second episode, which is the latest release, focuses on Jules, her friend. And they're very intimate, and they're very intimate and up close and personal. So you get to know these characters in a different way. And which I really love about this show, because it's very character driven. And so definitely check that out, because I think that these are being stacked up to lead up to, you know, what they're going to present as the actual series for the season. American Gods just started back up. I think we're in episode 3 at this point.
Okay.
Which is really good. It's a little confusing. I'm still trying to find my way through it, but it's good. You know, I get into all that mythical gods and history and all that. Yeah, I love all that.
I've read the book, and so yeah. I'm probably going to get into the series one day, but the book was really good, so I can only imagine.
Yeah. So it's a good series. It's good. It's good entertainment. Definitely check it out. Everybody does a good job. Your Honor is another show with Bryan Cranston on it on Showtime. Wow. Bryan Cranston can do no wrong in my book. He always picks projects that are A+. And in this series, he's a judge whose son accidentally kills someone else. And because of his son's ill actions in the beginning of that manslaughter, he now has to help his son cover up, because the way that his son took care of things, he did it not intentionally trying to cover up, but it looks like he's covering up. So, but he's gone so far that the judge now has to help him cover up, or he would actually go to jail. And now at this point, both of them would go to jail. So it's an ever evolving situation, and it just gets worse and worse as the series goes on. And it's good. Like, you have to check it out and to see how this man of the law skirts around the law, and he's trying to protect his son at the same time. It's interesting. Definitely check it out. Bryan Cranston is a friggin' genius. Okay. This is my last thing. Did anybody know that Sex and the City was coming back?
I saw the headlines, but isn't the one of the main characters not coming back?
Which is going to be very interesting. I want to know how they're going to do this. So Kim Cattrall, who plays Samantha, will not be coming back to the Sex and the City fold. The other three ladies are, and I think the new series is called And Just Like That, dot, 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 That's going to be the name of the new series.
Interesting.
Where it picks up, I think Sarah Jessica Parker says she could not help to wonder where they are now. And then it says, and just like that, dot, dot, dot. So that's the lead in to, then they have a trailer, and the trailer is just basically showing you different scenes around New York City. You don't see any actors, you don't see any people. You just hear voices and you see the city. So you get the good feel of New York City. And it looks like it may be good, just simply based on the energy put into the promo. The energy seems like it's gonna be good. Which leaves people that are fans of the show questioning, how are you going to cover up the Samantha hole? What are you going to do? And I've heard rumors that maybe Sharon Stone was going to play Samantha. Rumors. I'm not saying that that's true, but if that is a rumor, she probably would be the only actress that I can think of that could probably do that and maybe do it to the point where everyone's not super upset about it. And then the other thing that could probably happen, if anyone follows Sex and the City, you know that Samantha had a bout with breast cancer, so they could kill Samantha off. So who knows? And then there was talk about also too, Jennifer Hudson stepping in as maybe a recurring character or maybe part of the actual cast, because remember, she was in the Sex and the City movie as Carrie's assistant. So we'll see. But I'm excited about it. I like that show. It was brilliant writing on there. I love the writing.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, I'm devastated. Insecure has announced that this fifth season is going to be the last season. So,
you know, it's been 30 minutes. They've always kind of said that. They've always said that. You know, Issa's always kind of said that. I know. But it leaves room for something else.
No, it does. It does. And she's a busy woman. I'm sure it's hard for her to do a series like
that.
And
hey, look at this, Steven. You had Insecure, which is kind of on the level of Sex and the City. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Sex and the City left HBO to go on and do great things in the theater. Who knows what HBO wants Issa to do with Insecure? They may have given her an option to do that. And then like now, Sex and the City's coming back. Who knows? Maybe Insecure has to take a journey.
I like, TK, looking on the bright side.
All right.
I do.
We'll see.
Consoling Stephen, yep.
Well, listen, guys, we got to wrap. But thank you, as always, for letting us know what to spend our time and money on. And have a great week. And we'll talk again next Monday.
All right. Absolutely.
All right, right back after this.
Robin. Easto. We got another one. Y'all know my innocence. Brother George to thrive. Yeah. This one goes out to all the soldiers, those kings and queens that lost their lives too early in the struggle. You feel me? Yeah. My existence is resistance. You see me and decide I'm a misfit. I'm rooted in my roots. Black magic is my truth. Y'all been stepping on our necks, so y'all gotta get the boot. Tired of the struggle that we don't all face. 1%, 2% cheating in the race. Now it's never been equal. The dream can't be mine. They killed two of our leaders when them kings was 39. I'm breathing at this time, but man, it's hard to believe. God's grace is here. World freedom will achieve. Balance out, balance in. Let Obama's chant begin. Hope. No more lynching us, knees or gun smoke, mine innocence. And Brother George to thrive, mine innocence. And Brother George to thrive, mine innocence. And Brother George to thrive, Brianna, I'm mine. We gon' keep y'all alive, mine innocence. And Brother George to thrive, mine innocence. And Brother George to thrive, mine innocence. And Brother George to thrive, Brianna, I'm mine. We gon' keep y'all alive. Trayvon, Eric, and Tamir, we salute y'all lives and we wish that y'all was here. We know you were unarmed, but they meant to do you harm. When you black in America, sometimes it calls alarm to the wrong ones, so it must be ceased. No more joke penalties from police. Black Lives Matter 2013. Props to the creator, glad y'all stepped on the scene. I had to get my mind right, tryouts for the team. Put that J out and with my lighter, I beam. Now to my queens, Sandra, Brianna. I know there's a lot more, some Tinas, some Donnas. I love y'all, salute you. Your life was not in vain. You gave us all your power, it came through with your pain. New generation, no more separation. Gotta work together, get some healing for the nation. Mine innocence, and Brother George to thrive. Mine innocence, and Brother George to thrive. Mine innocence, and Brother George to thrive. Brianna, I'm mine, we gon' keep y'all alive. Mine innocence, and Brother George to thrive. Mine innocence, and Brother George to thrive. Mine innocence, and Brother George to thrive. Brianna, I'm mine, we gon' keep y'all alive. Man, hurts my heart right now. I'm in this booth spitting. and y'all ain't here. Y'all can't breathe or believe, so I'm just gonna shout out y'all names. Yeah, Michael Brown. Yeah, Trayvon Martin. Yeah, Breonna Taylor. Yeah, Kenny Watkins. Yeah, Michelle Shirley. Yeah, Stephen Clark. Yeah, Laquan McDonald. Yeah, Tamir Rice. Yeah, Eric Gardner. Yeah, Sandra Bland. Yeah, Ahmaud Arbery. Yeah, Tony McDade. Yeah, George Floyd. Yeah. It's so many of you all who have had your lives taken away way too soon. So we're gonna continue to say your names. We're gonna continue to lift our voices and sing. We're gonna continue to make sure that your killers are held accountable. We're gonna continue to make change, cause it's coming. We love y'all.
She say it's real. She say it's real. I don't know. She say it's real. She say it's real. Fake booties need love too. Come here, let me touch it. Let me see if it's true. Fake booties need love too. Ooh. Fake booties need love too. Ooh. It's magic in the city, and I'm just tryna cop a feel. Minus 12, you got sex appeal, and I pay to play. It ain't tricking, you know I got it. The way you bop it made me drop it like 10 bands. Damn, I'm spinning on you, designer, no stores. You gotta axe, it's yours. You shaking on guard, and I'm standing up, watching you throw it back. I need more of that silk shake. Hold up, wait, it's a bop, it's a bop, it's a bop, 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 bop. From the hood to Hollywood, we gon' bop, 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 bop. Get your bag, baby, get your bag, baby. Get your bag, get your bag, get your bag, baby. It's a bop, it's a bop, it's a bop, 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 bop. From the hood to Hollywood, we gon' bop, 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 bop. Get your bag, baby, get your bag, baby. Get your bag, get your bag, get your bag, baby. You got all my attention, and I'm where you missing. We gon' leave before tonight, want you to say. I got all the love for you, just set aside. Feel free, you ain't never ever gotta lie to me. I'm sipping baby wine, Tennessee. Now you ain't gotta run for nothing, long as you keep twerking and working for me.
Yeah, fat nigga, but I fuck her like a bodybuilder. Yeah, they call me Toe Fresh, the condom filler. I kinda fill her ass on dummy, man, I gotta drill her. Beat it up, Mike Jack, now she walk like Thriller. Strippers thicker in Atlanta, I'm like, what it do? She in my ear like Toke, I never had a Philly boo. The way she twerking, I'ma fly her out to Philly too. From the hood to Hollywood, you know how Philly do.
It's a bop, 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 bop. From the hood to Hollywood, we gon' bop, 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 bop. Get your bag, baby. Get your bag, baby. Get your bag, get your bag, get your bag, baby. It's a bop, it's a bop. It's a bop, 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 bop. From the hood to Hollywood, we gon' bop, 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 bop. Get your bag, baby. Get your bag, baby. Get your bag, get your bag, get your bag, baby.
You got all my attention. For tonight, want you to say, I got all the love for you, just set aside. Feel free, you ain't never ever gotta lie to me. I'm sipping baby wine, Tennessee. Now you ain't gotta run for nothing, long as you keep twerking and working for me.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. A-Rod Cosby, season 11. How you feeling?
Yes, sir. Season 11. Happy, happy season 11, man. I'm feeling good. Feeling good.
Good, good, good. How was your break?
Fast. It went by quick. So, but it was needed, much needed. So hopefully 2021, we as a country will have a much better year.
Most definitely. Yeah. Well, let's get into these sports because everyone's talking about Super Bowl.
Man. Okay. I want to see Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes play. I do. So the NFL, spot on with that. Yes. Only downside is that I'm not excited about the Super Bowl. And it's because of, you know, the COVID right. and everything. And we know that it's not going to be a lot of people there at the actual game.
Right.
It's just, it doesn't have that same vibe. So.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be cool. I will be watching it, but I doubt that I'll watch it all the way through. I'll probably end up watching maybe the first quarter halftime show and then the fourth quarter. Like I'm not gonna watch the second quarter or the third quarter like that. Like I'm just.
You might. You never know. If it's good, you might.
I doubt it, but you never know. I doubt it. Unless the NFL can really get it hyped.
They got to do something.
Absolutely.
I heard they invited 7,100 first responders.
Most definitely. And this is the first Super Bowl where a team is actually going to be playing in their home.
In their own site. Yeah.
And exactly. Of course, it would be Tom Brady. If nobody else, Tom Brady would find a way. And
yeah, this is Tim Super Bowl, and yeah. You know him and Mahomes is the only one that have taken their teams to Super Bowls two years back to back. Yeah.
So I'm gonna need Patrick. Come on, get this W. It's waiting on you. He can do it. The Kansas City Chiefs, they can do it. Yeah. It's there for him. We'll see what happens. But
who do you think's gonna win?
What's your prediction? Who I want to win and who I think
is going to win? Who do you think is going to win?
Teams. Who do I want to win?
Yeah, who you
want to win? I want Kansas City to win. Who I think is going to win? The Bucks.
Yeah.
Which means that it'll actually split. It'll be – so you know how my
– Right, exactly.
So Kansas City might win, which actually might work out to my favor. So
They might win. Tom Brady's old enough to be Patrick's dead. That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Like that's yeah. But just seeing because Tom is the GOAT. But seeing Patrick, who to me is really at that level to possibly being a future GOAT. I mean,
that's what everybody's saying.
Yeah. So it's almost like passing the torch in a way. Tom will be passing the torch to Patrick. So we'll see.
Before you go, we talked about in hot topics, but what are your thoughts on the pass of Hank Aaron?
Brother, I was just going to mention that. That was my second topic. Mm. Hammer and Hank. Good old, Hammer and Hank Aaron, So Henry Louis Aaron, his full name. 86 years young. He would have been 87 next month. A trailblazer, man. Absolute trailblazer. Words, I can't even put him into words. Like, he transcended sports. And not just baseball, but sports and society. I mean, just, he's larger than life, and he's going to be definitely missed. But his impact will be felt forever.
Atlanta was all the coverage.
As it should have been. Absolutely. So I'm giving him his props. Mr. Aaron, thank you, brother. So, and then I wanted to mention, that this is the 1 year anniversary. I believe it's actually tomorrow for the passing of the late, great Kobe Bryant. So Yeah. So, what are your thoughts, man? It's been a year.
It has been a lot.
And what a year. You know, once Kobe, like, who, that kind of just kind of was the precursor to what was to come.
Right.
In the world. Exactly. Well, especially here in the States. Yeah. Like,
It doesn't really feel like, even though it is a new year, it doesn't really feel like one because we're still dealing with a lot of things we dealt with in 2020. Right. But, you know, I still have hope that it'll get better. It'll get better. Now that we have a new administration and, you know, people, adults in charge, you know, hopefully
yes,
it will turn around for us all. Yeah.
It's going to get better. It is. Yeah. It's going to get better. Yeah. Man, that's all I got.
All right, Aaron. Well, thank you as always. Hope you have a great week and see you next Monday.
All right, brother. Thank you. Same to you.
All right. Right back after this.
up, everybody? I'm Vivian Green. My seventh studio album, Love Absolute, is available right now on all platforms. And I'm hanging out here on The Stephen Knight Show. Peace and love.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned businesses. We have two for you. The first one is called Rayo and Honey. And they said, looking for some statement-making home decor? Or Rochelle's Negron's photogenic handcrafted panets featured pop culture inspired phrases and affirmations like you are magic, young, gifted, and Black. Nevertheless, she persisted. And what doesn't kill me feeds me. Those are all part of what you can find in her company, Rayo and Honey. And they were established in 2015. So check them out. The last one is called Bole Roll Textiles. Now, the owner, Hannah Getchichu, I believe, spent 11 years working on interior designer for a big New York city architect firm before she decided to take her career down a different road. In 2015, she launched her Brooklyn-based business, Bole Roll Textiles, a collection of bright, bold pillows, throws, curtains, rugs, towels, and linens, all of which are hand-woven by artisans in Ethiopia, where she's from. So check those companies out. Support Black businesses, especially now they need it. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. It's great to be back on season 11, and we'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
Tonight is all eyes on me. Everything's gonna be all right. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty.